time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
The Weekend Report is indeed on your radio. Tony Colombo here with my partner, Chris Arps.
Tony Colombo, how are you, sir?
My friend, also producer Ryan Wiggins is back.
Back in the saddle. In his house.
He was on assignment last week. Zach Factor was here. We appreciate Zach, but Ryan is back, and that is great. And we've got a great show on tap, but we are going to go, we're going to get right into it, because tonight, not only is it a great night to be listening to the radio, because of course the Weekend Report is just beginning, we've got you covered for the next 2 hours, but immediately following the show, this show ends at 7 o'clock, and immediately following the show, I am heading to the Ready Room. The next Queen tribute show is happening tonight, and we have the man, Jason Nelson, on the phone with us right now. Jason, we're just a couple hours away from the show. How you feeling?
We're great, man. We're ready for some Queen.
Yeah,
baby.
So people, you know, we've had you on. We've talked about this show over the last few weeks. But for people that maybe are just hearing about it for the first time or are looking for something to do tonight, tell them where they need to be.
In the Grove, on Manchester, the Ready Room. We're going to have a David Bowie tribute called Black Star All-Stars opening the show at 8 p.m. Then a tribute to Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band with Saints in the City. They're going to go on at 9 p.m. And then Somebody to Love, a tribute to Queen, at 10 p.m.
I love it. I love it. I'm so stoked. The Queen tribute shows get better each and every time. The Ready Room is an incredible venue. I can't stress enough that if you're looking for something to do tonight, the weather is beautiful. Finally, spring is here, and it's time to come out and enjoy some rock and roll. At this point, they should probably just come to the door, right? I mean, they could still, if they want to, you've got some social media, if they want to look at details about the show, but at this point, they should probably just come to the door, right, Jason?
Tickets still remain, so day to show today.
Yeah.
$15 at the door gets you in. Not a bad place in the house.
Heck no.
If you've not been to the Ready Room, it holds 800, and it's going to be a great show.
One of the great venues in town to listen to some rock and roll and enjoy live music. What do I always say, Chris? Support local music.
Support local music.
Support local music. Support live music. And get out there tonight and join us at the Ready Room for the Queen tribute show. Jason, thanks for your time. Go get ready, and I'll see you in a couple hours.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, now we can get
Wait
into
a minute,
the show.
But yes, if you're a political nerd, you can come out and see Mark Cox and I.
I am so sorry.
You step all over me. I'm sorry.
I am very sorry. That is right. There's not just one thing happening tonight.
Yes.
There's two things happening. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mark Cox and I are going to be emceeing the St. Louis County Lincoln Reagan Day dinner tonight. So as soon as we're finished doing this show, I got to hop on the highway and get down.
We're going two different directions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to do something serious and important, and I'm going to a rock show.
Do you think anything Mark Cox and I do together is going to be serious and important? Come on.
Well, here's the truth. We've got you covered. Whether you want to go be active and political, or if you want to just cut loose a little bit and have a good time, you can come with me to the Ready Room, or you can go with Chris to Lincoln Days.
See, but the one thing, though, at the Ready Room, there will not be any steak and potatoes.
There will not.
And chicken, rubber chicken.
No. There'll be rock and roll and alcohol.
And soggy pretzels.
And soggy pretzels.
Beer-soaked pretzels.
Wow, what a choice you've offered there.
We have got a great show on hand for you today. In the second hour of today's show, we are going to be talking to Missouri's Speaker of the House, Elijah Haar.
Yes.
I have never spoken with the Speaker. Spoken with the Speaker? That's an interesting sentence.
Spoken with the Speaker?
Yeah, I have never spoken with the Speaker. I'm looking forward to it. What do you know about Elijah?
I know I've been Facebook friends with him for years, even before he got involved in politics. And it's been interesting watching his career advance. This is his first year as the speaker, so I think he's going to have a very bright bright future in politics, and he's a young guy, so he may be in favor of projects like Hyperloop and things of that nature.
Yeah, the Hyperloop is definitely one of the things that I want to talk to him about. We had that discussion with Lieutenant Governor Kehoe last week on this show. If you missed that interview, you should go back and listen to it. Just download the podcast off of our website or off of the radio.com app or anywhere that you download podcasts. We're pretty much available. Got some really good information about Hyperloop from the Lieutenant Governor last week, and learned that this speaker, Elijah Haar, who we'll talk to today, is actually the one that appointed the Lieutenant Governor to lead that committee that is investigating.
We're getting some heavy hitters here.
I missed that interview last week because I was not producing your show last week.
You were gone. You were out on assignment. How'd that assignment go?
That was fine. Well, if you listen to Annie on Friday and there was no problems, then it went fine. That was a special assignment. That Hyperloop thing is very interesting to me. Is that something that's done through taxes, or is that more of a privately funded thing?
It is. So didn't the Lieutenant Governor say last week that there was no public money?
What the Lieutenant Governor said is what they want to model it on was the like the railroads, where it was a public-private
partnership,
kind of partnership,
because the cost is astronomical.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
like
it's super cool.
$27 million per mile.
Yeah.
From here to Kansas City to build it.
But no,
I think that's before land acquisition.
Yeah, but you got to think about it. You got to think about it, Tony. There's no oil, and it's green, and it helps the planet. It's beautiful.
It's $27 million
Everything is beautiful.
But no public money.
No, there's going to be public money.
Oh, it is a partnership.
It's going to be a partnership between public and private. That's how the railroads
work. I thought the Lieutenant Governor said, we both need to go back and listen to it.
No, I remember. He said that he wanted to model it on the railroad model.
All right, gotcha. We are going to finish the rest of the hour after this break. Our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller is in the house. She brought treats. And we are going to spend the rest of the hour after this segment talking with her, breaking down all of the big stories of the week. We normally start the show with the week in review, so we'll do a little bit of that right now, and then we'll take a break and talk to Virginia. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to ask you, instead of start presenting the stories to you, how did you feel about this week? What was the big standout for you as far as news stories? Do you have one, or do you put you on the spot, buddy? Ryan,
I guess
can jump
one,
in and save Chris if you need
I
to.
I guess the one that I think about the most, and I think we're probably going to talk about it, is just the whole spat between the president and John McCain.
Yes.
And why it just seems unnecessary. I mean, if you talk about bullying, I think the height of bullying is picking a fight with a dead man who can't fight back, and it's just so unnecessary, and the president is winning and has so many accomplishments that he can point to. But this is the type of stuff that will keep people like me and others from fully embracing him as a person and as a politician, and more is just, hey, he's our leader and we like what he's doing, but I'll never be wearing a Make America Great hat or super praise him or anything like that. I just can't do it. I don't think that much of him personally, just by the things that he does and the way he lived his life. But as president, he's doing fantastic. I love the way that he's breaking up the status quo and doing things that we haven't seen before. It's been effective. You can't argue that. But he just goes overboard.
Yes.
He just goes overboard.
I agree with you. I don't know if I have that level of distant from him, but I agree with the premise there. And I also think, look, I agree with you, Mr. President, about all of the things that you're frustrated with John McCain about. I understand that you're frustrated that he did the late night dramatic vote where the whole country was watching him
and I believe that
there probably was some personal reasons John McCain to cast that vote against.
Very personal.
There shouldn't be personal reasons when we're talking about making law, but I believe that there was, and I think the president thinks that, and he's mad about it, and he doesn't like the way John McCain governed and all that. I agree with you, but the man's dead. Yeah. His service to the country is unquestioned and almost unequaled. Yeah. In many ways, and you just look bad when you continue to insult a person who has passed away, especially somebody with a service record like John McCain. Even though I agree with almost everything he's saying, it still is a bad look.
Yeah. It's just hard. I understand. If you are not involved in politics and the dirty, nitty-gritty aspect of it, it's really hard for people to understand why John McCain did what he did.
Yeah.
But if you are involved in daily grind of politics and you have, like me, been personally attacked publicly, where somebody's trying to drag your reputation, your character through the mud, and they have a vehicle to do it, that's just stuff you just don't forget.
Right.
I mean, I know people are saying, suck it up for the team. We need to get rid of Obamacare. It's America. Don't take it personally. I get it. I really do understand that. But unless you really go through it and you have somebody disparaging you and ripping you publicly and trying to destroy you, it's not stuff that you can easily forget. Get even for the team.
Well,
it just isn't.
He should have for the team in that case. But that's a whole different discussion.
I think he should have, but I can't be mad at him for taking the vote that he did, because I understand.
Normally, when he is ripping somebody or name calling somebody, you know, there's a method to the madness. He's trying to take away their power and belittle them and take away their credentials as far as the public is concerned. John McCain doesn't have any political power anymore.
If I had to take a guess on why Trump is doing this, he knows that the Mueller report is coming out, and I think he's trying to drum up enough support among the base and have those people really riled up so that when this report comes out and it says something negative, they're already ticked off and they can blame John McCain because he's the reason all of this started because of the dossier. So I think there is a method to the reason, and I think that's what it is more than anything.
You think that the Mueller report might have something negative in it? Just say yes or no. We'll get into it.
We'll tease it.
Yeah, you think?
I'd let you know next segment.
All right, I like it. Next segment with Virginia Cruda from The Daily Caller.
Exactly.
All right, we are going to take a break, and like I said, for the rest of the hour, we're going to be joined by Virginia Cruda, so don't go anywhere. Great stuff coming. It is the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here, Chris Arps, Ryan Wiggins is back in studio. Is the music really loud or is my microphone really low? There we go. I also don't think I had the volume turn up right. Hello, we're back. And as I just mentioned in that last segment, Virginia Cruda from The Daily Caller is here and going to be joining us for the rest of this first hour. I just had Cruda Bakery treat, and Chris Arps knows the reaction that I am having to it.
It was so good. Dude stomped his foot like a 3-year-old.
So
it was just so
good. I've been
good.
On this Atkins diet for like 3 months, and, you know, no carbs, no sugar. And so I have had very little of that stuff, and I will cheat from time to time. I will cheat, and Virginia brought the treats in, and I was like, well, today's a cheat day.
So are you saying it's worth it, or are you saying that the
totally
rest of this hour
it.
Is going to be really interesting?
No, it could be really interesting, but it was totally worth it.
The sugar high will kick in.
Dang,
later.
Dang, that stuff is good. All right, we've got a lot. There's a lot to go. I'm glad you're here for the rest of the hour because there is so much to talk about. First of all, I want to start with this. Chris Arps, before you came in the studio, left us on a cliffhanger going into break.
I forgot what it was.
I'll remind you.
Remind me, please.
I'm going to leave him hanging there.
It was 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about Trump McCain.
Right.
And the whole silly feud. One-sided feud. And Chris said that he thinks that part of the reason the president is doing it is to distract people because the Mueller report could be coming out soon. And he said if there's negative stuff in the Mueller report, the president's doing this type of stuff to take people's mind off of it. And I said, do you think that there's negative stuff in the Mueller report? Well, and he said, I'll tell you after the break.
Well, it wasn't so much take their mind off it. I think he's trying to get the base already worked up and angry at John McCain.
Yep.
And then if this report comes out and there's something negative in it, he can say, look, and this is a witch hunt, and John McCain's responsible for it, remember? Because he's the one that gave this to the media. I think he's trying to keep a focus on John McCain when this comes out.
We sort of set our piece on Trump McCain. Virginia, I don't know if you, real quick, if you have a thought on it. Both of us kind of think that the president's punching down. Yeah. I agree with everything he's saying, but it's like, but it's just a bad look to be saying it now because the man's dead and it's not worth it.
Right. So, well, if you look at across the media outlets, the people who are accusing him of doing that, punching down and saying, hey, you know, he shouldn't be talking about this. He's passed. He's a war hero, which I absolutely agree with. I also disagree with some of his political stances.
Absolutely.
Which I think is fine to do. But if you look back just a little bit further and you look at who's asking him the questions, you know, they're yelling at him for punching down and hitting John McCain when he can't defend himself, which is not a good thing to do. It's not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the ones that asked him the question.
Well, that's a good point.
So, I mean,
but he could still, like, have the restraint to not go
true.
There.
True. And what I'm saying is both sides are wrong here.
Yeah, agreed.
And to, you know, if you want to know why he's still talking about John McCain, because you keep asking him about John McCain.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he keeps giving you more.
Right.
Every time you ask, he gives you what you want.
But if you think about it, he hasn't changed. What Trump is saying about John McCain has not changed since 2015.
Right.
Since he first said, you know, I like people who didn't get captured.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has not changed.
Right. And I mean, besides the personal insults like that, which I thought that was terrible.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
But all the policy stuff, I've always agreed with him. But it's just like, at this point,
But the issue is, should this be said?
Yeah.
You know, I heard on some shows last week where people were saying, oh, this is hypocritical. The only reason that the Democrats are saying this is so they can try to divide Republicans and be mad and you know, keep the Republicans divided. And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. That is politics. Yeah. But still, that doesn't deflect from the question, should the president be doing this?
Right.
And I would,
you know,
I would
so
agree
what
that
the Democrats are being hypocrites.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what? But the real issue is, should the president be doing this? And I don't think so.
Yeah,
I agree. I would agree with that. I think that it's dumb to ask why he's doing it, because you know, you poke the bear, whether or not the bear should eat you, he might try.
Mueller report.
Oh, I thought you said Bubba report. Have we got a new segment here you didn't tell me about?
I wasn't even going to talk about the Mueller report today, but you said that you
Leave Clinton alone.
The Bubba report.
Do you think there might be the Slick Willie report?
Yeah.
Do you think there might be bad stuff in there, or do you think it's going to be a bunch of nothing? Because I've come to the opinion that I think it's going to be a bunch of nothing.
Look, I don't think that a person of Robert Mueller's caliber and his reputation does an in-depth investigation for 2 years with some of the brightest prosecutors there are and doesn't come back with something. There may not be something indictable. It may be enough evidence or enough smoke to get the Congress more investigating so they can try to impeach him. I think this report is going to be a lot of smoke. There's going to be a lot of inferences to think, but there's not going to be anything to put A and B together. I think what they're trying to set up is the cases that they send to the Southern District of New York that are dealing with his businesses and things that happened years ago. I think that's where the president is in criminal peril. I think if the report is bad enough and just has a lot of smoke, that just gives ammunition for the Democrats to try to impeach him and keep investigating him.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's going to be one thing in there, though, that has even a little bit that would draw a line to Russian collusion. I don't think that's going to be in there.
I think it's going to be a lot
maybe
of smoke.
Some old business deals or something like that that he did.
Right.
You know, they may find something on him from some time in his past. But what the purpose of the investigation is, I don't think there's going to be anything.
I think it's going to be plenty of stuff of what we've seen already where some Russian lawyer goes to Trump Tower and they're supposed to be talking about this, but this comes up. I think there's going to be plenty of stuff like, why did Manafort give a Russian operative polling data from the campaign? I think it's going to be a lot of smoke stuff like that, but nothing conclusive that you can say is collusion.
All right, here's what I want to get into now with Virginia. And Virginia had a great article about this week on the Daily Caller. Probably the biggest, in my opinion, the biggest story. But I want to lump it all together, because if we try to break each one of these ridiculous things down, we could probably spend an hour on each one. So, and you can add on things that I forget. The Democrats this week made some proposals. They want to get rid of the Electoral College and move to popular vote. They want to put some term limits on the Supreme Court. They want to put more justices on the Supreme Court. They want to lower the voting age to 16. They're just throwing everything they can at the wall right now. And and it reeks of desperation to me, but as Chris knows, I have very little faith in 50% of the country. And I think that they might be making some progress with the socialists and the far left people that I think is a growing number of the United States population. You wrote an article covering all of this stuff this week. What are your thoughts on this new direction the Democrats are going?
Well, what I think is interesting, and I told Mark Cox this a couple of days ago, we were talking about the same article, and I said that, you know, Barack Obama brought us hope and change, and the Democrat platform for going into 2020 appears to be change the Constitution. Because most of these things, and that was the entire point of the article, is that they require constitutional changes, constitutional amendments. Lowering the voting age would effectively repeal an amendment that reduced it from 21 to 18, or it would supersede that. Term limits for the Supreme Court would be an amendment to the Constitution. Now, you can add justices to the Supreme Court without changing. That's an act of Congress. That can be done. It has been done. But then what's interesting is that you've got people like the Indiana mayor, Pete.
Buttigieg.
He
spelled like butt.
He proposed.
Totally.
He proposed.
Yeah.
Five justices selected by Democrats, five justices selected by Republicans, and then
five more
selected by unanimously by those 10 justices.
Yeah.
And Beto O'Rourke has come out in favor of this, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. If we're talking about justices who are supposed to be impartial, and their job is to be impartial, then it shouldn't matter who's appointing them.
Yeah.
If they actually are.
And they shouldn't be Republican and Democrat judges.
Right.
They're just judges.
Right. And that's what's interesting, I think, and I've said this about Kavanaugh before. He's a judicial conservative. And people mistook that for political conservative. They're not the same. And he doesn't... He may be politically conservative. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he probably is, given his background and his religious upbringing and his personal feelings. Mm-hmm. He probably is politically conservative.
He likes beer.
But that doesn't change that there were a bunch of conservatives that were mad because he signed with Planned Parenthood. He told us he was going to do that.
Right.
He told us he was going to uphold precedent and uphold the law as written, which is what
judges are supposed to do.
Judicially conservative just means you're not an activist.
Right, right.
And if that's a problem, then you shouldn't be, you know, if that's a problem for you, you shouldn't be appointing judges to begin with.
Virginia's point of all of this would take constitutional amendments, which is a very difficult thing to get passed. Do you think, Chris, that
that these many of these Democrats that are spouting all of this are just doing it because they know it's going to get them a big pop at, in front of whatever crowd that they are speaking in front of. But they, A, realize that the chances of getting any of it done is next to nothing, and they don't really want it anyway. And they know it's not going to happen, so they can go out and tell these people that this is what they want because they're looking for them. Do you think they believe what they're saying, or do you think it's all about riling up people?
I think more than anything, I think it's a little combination of all of that. But I think more than anything is these people are scared to death of AOC's and Tlaib and that base. You hear, I think, Beto, where he was saying, I'm a capitalist, and then had to, you know, walk it back once he got criticized. I think a lot of the stuff is they are jumping on this bandwagon because they're right now the Democratic Party is far left and they're afraid of angering that segment of the base this early in the process. They at least want to stick around till next year.
Half of his campaign so far apologizing for something or other.
Exactly. And you know, Mark Cox is getting too much mention on this show today. But last Friday or yesterday, he played a clip of Joe Biden, Senator Joe Biden, in the 90s when the Republicans floated an idea to put more members on the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden said it was a boneheaded idea. It was terrible. It's FDR. Shouldn't have tried to do this. So it's going to be interesting when that clip starts getting more widely played. And then you compare that to where the activists are right now. Joe's going to be in a little pickle.
I think there's only one of those issues that they really are going to push, and that's to get rid of the Electoral College, because they've wanted that for a while. They wanted that after Gore lost in 2000. They wanted it after Hillary lost, and they want it now.
Yeah.
And they may not even go the constitutional route. They may do, if you look at several states have voted to defer their electoral
it's
votes
like 12
to
or
the
13.
Winner. Yeah. They have 189 as of right now, with the states that have passed that, they'd have 189 electoral votes.
And it's such an easy argument because they're like, hell yeah, it should be popular vote. That's who should win the presidency. You know, you can make that argument to the masses out there that don't know any better. Popular vote should be win.
Astounding to me, and I've said this on the air many times, what is astounding to me is the people in tiny states that are about
Elizabeth Warren got a standing ovation in Mississippi.
Yeah, who has? They only have six, I think, electoral college
their
votes.
Entire
anyway,
state
they're one
would
of the
be
smaller.
Overrun.
Yeah, they're one of the smaller states. You just mentioned the states that have passed this idea of giving all of their electoral votes to the winner of the popular vote. Yep. That has passed in some body of states in 13 different states, many of which are small. I think Vermont is one of them. I think Rhode Island is one of them.
I like to know why Mississippi. I love to talk to voters of Mississippians and ask them why would they be for something.
They don't know. They don't get it.
It's an indictment of our education.
It really is. That is a great point. It is an indictment of our education.
Mississippi's a deep red conservative state, even though you would think that they would.
The argument that they make. The argument is they make is that the whole election hangs on one or two. States on one or two swing states, and it shouldn't be that way. The whole election shouldn't come down to Ohio or Michigan. It should be equal.
So they wanted to come down to California, Texas, and Florida, and New York.
Exactly. They don't get it.
That's what it's going to come down to.
At least with swing states can change. Yeah. You look back over the years, and sometimes the swing state is Ohio, and sometimes it's Wisconsin, and sometimes it's Pennsylvania, sometimes it's Missouri. Right. The swing states can change. Yeah. The huge cities are not going to change, not anytime soon, not anybody's lifetime that is listening to this show. And so if you are in one of these smaller states, which is the majority of states, you are giving away your power. The power that you hold in your vote, you are just, if you're not in New York, California, Texas, up in Chicago, you are just giving away your vote. And I don't. You see these people stand up and give these standing ovations in places like Mississippi, like Virginia just mentioned, and you're thinking to yourself, are you nuts?
Those are Mississippi Democrats, though. They have to be.
Nothing worse than a
Mississippi
Democrat. Nothing worse than a Mississippi
Democrat. I'm sorry if I offended any Mississippi Democrats listening.
We got to take a break, but don't go anywhere. We've got more with Virginia Caruta from The Daily Caller coming next. It is the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here we go. Look at Chris.
Yeah, got it.
Man, I'm getting so good. I'm playing the lead and I'm playing the bass.
You are.
Between,
yeah.
I'm playing like the bass.
And you're playing the harmonica on the,
the air harmonica.
On the theme of the show.
I gotta learn how you're supposed to hold it and how you're supposed to look playing a harmonica because I look pretty stupid.
The music of the
I think everybody looks stupid.
Yeah, but I don't know how you.
Playing air harmonica? Yeah, everybody looks stupid playing air harmonica. Yeah. I agree.
It's a good visual.
It's Perry Woods is the music that you heard there. Of course, he provides the soundtrack every week of the Weekend Report. Support local music.
Support local music and spay and neuter your pet.
That's right. You can download Perry's music everywhere that you download music. Look up the Woods Experience. And also, speaking of local music, don't forget tonight is the Queen Tribute Show out of the Ready Room. I'm heading straight there after the show. I'll be hosting that awesome event and would like to see all of you come out. Make sure you say hello and enjoy a great night of rock and roll.
Where's that going to be at, Tony?
The Ready Room.
Ready Room.
In the Grove.
In the Grove. Okay.
That is correct.
Last time I was at the Ready Room, I was crashing.
Were you ready?
The Ocasio-Cortez rally.
There you go.
That's funny. That's
that was
awesome.
Funny.
Yeah. Chris says that my support local music line is my Bob Barker's spay and neuter your pets.
Yeah.
That's my
very similar.
That's my slogan, yes. And his was the spay and neuter your pet. That's right. I wanted to ask you guys. I wanted to ask you guys something. Who is the face of the Democratic Party? Who's the national face of the Democratic Party?
Right now, it's Beto.
Yeah,
I really think so. He's just getting all the attention.
Ryan says Beto. Chris, you got one?
I'd have to say Ocasio-Cortez. She's on the cover of Time magazine this week, and she seems to be setting the agenda for the Democratic Party right now.
Well, she's the boss.
She is the boss.
She is the boss. That's right.
I would say it's in flux right now.
Yeah?
Because you've got a lot of people vying for the nomination already.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the people who are the freshman class who are trying to make a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the old guard that are trying to hold on by any means necessary. And so, like, Maxine Waters, for example, is tweeting like crazy the last couple of days about, you know, some people are afraid to go ahead and impeach the president, but I'm standing strong. Like, nobody's watching you.
Yeah.
But
that's why
but
she's tweeting,
she wants
tweeting like
people
crazy.
To watch.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you've got that. And of course, you've got AOC making the rounds with the media outlets doing the Showtime show and the, you know, Time magazine cover story, which I'm going to have to dig into that this weekend. And I will have a response. Let's just say that I think that the way that that story was covered and the way the author of that story is defending it on Twitter right now is an indictment of millennial culture. Almost this idea that they've been raised to believe that their experience is more important than what's going than the actual facts and context of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's She's talking about we need to take her seriously because she didn't live through the Red Scare. Well, go read a book.
Right.
I mean, you're going to condemn my children to repeat it because you couldn't be bothered to study what happened?
Yeah. Another indictment of our education system. Right. If she doesn't know because she didn't live through it. Like, oh, I don't know about World War II because I didn't live through it. Like,
yeah, well, you know what? I didn't go to Vietnam. I didn't live under Stalin or Mao. But guess what? I know they're bad.
Right.
I know that bad things happened. And I understand that, hey, maybe we shouldn't make everybody else repeat it just so we can have the experience.
That's right.
How's Venezuela doing? I don't know. I don't live there.
Right, exactly. I've never lived there. That's Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller joining us this hour. Virginia wanted to get your thoughts on New Zealand. Of course, they had the terrible tragedy with the shooting at the mosques. They have now laid down a gun ban.
Yes.
Their prime minister has said that their gun laws will change in reaction to these shootings. They're going to, you have the details better than I do, but ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines and haven't really defined what those things are. And already we see the normal cast of characters over here in the United States saying that we need to follow the lead of New Zealand.
Yep, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, among others, have come out and said, hey, why can't we do this? And, well, one, you know, we value individual liberty over presidential fiat, but okay, you know, we can start there. Mm-hmm. But we've had assault weapons bans before. We've tried this stuff. It doesn't change the fact that criminals don't obey laws. None of it does. So, you know, and I've seen the snarky responses on Twitter. I can't wait for the criminals to line up to start obeying these new laws. I mean, it's because it's reactionary and it's ridiculous. It doesn't take the step that you intend it to take. And eventually all it does is leave you with a population of people who would obey the law or who are obeying the law, and it puts them at risk because they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a feel-good measure. We all know that you're not going to get rid of guns. We tried to get rid of alcohol with prohibition. Once somebody has a vice or wants a particular product, you're not going to stop people from getting it. I think I heard a report on the news yesterday that America has 300 to 400 million guns. So you can institute any type of gun ban that you want. You're never going to get rid of them. And if a criminal wants a gun, he's going to have a gun. And I think more and more when we see these random shootings or these massacres, I think it makes more and more sense that citizens should be armed so they can at least defend themselves instead of being sitting ducks. I hate that society has gotten to that point. I'd like for us all to just feel you know, we're not going to be assaulted and nothing. Right. But we're in a time now where people are carjacking people, killing people for nothing. People should be armed. And so you can have a fighting chance.
What is the majority of mass shootings are stopped by what? A good guy with a gun.
Yeah.
Whether it's law enforcement or somebody just happens to be there.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it's just some random guy.
The other point is, look at
a good guy could be a police officer or it could be, you know, somebody else. It could be somebody else that's there, but it's usually a good guy with a gun that stops the bad guy with a gun.
And look at the UK. If you want to do gun bans work, sure. Maybe they don't have as many mass shootings, but guess what? People drive trucks into bridges and, you know, they're going to find a weapon. I mean, what is one of the deadliest terrorist attacks that happened in recent years in France was undertaken with a truck.
Go ahead.
Can we slide into Donna Brazil?
Sure.
Because I, you know, got a lot of flack on my Facebook page because I didn't have a problem with Fox hiring Don Brazil.
I don't either.
I looked at it the equivalent of 97.1 having Keith Antone and Alderman Jeffrey Boyd and others on the radio. And I was going to ask you, Virginia, I mean, would Daily Caller listeners be upset if Daily Caller hired Donna Brazil or some lefty as a columnist?
We publish opinion pieces on all sides.
There you go.
We already do. Yep. And I mean, with an editor's note that this is an opinion piece, obviously. But I mean, she's not being. She's
how
being
responsible
hired to
of
be
you?
Opinion. Well, right.
How basic, I mean, that's journalistic. That's the idea. Yeah, it's unbelievable that nobody does that.
But of course, you know, we were all joking when Fox hired Donna Brazile, is that it was a move to get the Democrats to put a debate on Fox News because they know they'd at least get the questions ahead of time.
Didn't think of that. That's probably. You know, I didn't think of that aspect.
I think
of
you
it
mentioned
that's
this, Chris, on the Dave Glover Show earlier this week, and I thought it was a good point. Fox News has legit Democrats and liberals on the air there on a regular basis.
Yes.
When you look at MSNBC, their Republicans are Joe Scarborough and Jeff Flake.
Yeah.
You know, they're always either moderates or used to be Republicans that aren't anymore, or they are Trump haters. Yeah. There, it's never just a full blown somebody that's got the credentials, that's got either a long time in politics or working around politics, you know, that has the credentials, that's just a full blown conservative.
No, as
you
a regular commentators, yes.
Yeah,
but they do have, like, Lindsey Graham goes on and I would give him credit for going on.
Yes.
But
they don't have any regular people working there.
What do you call them? The contributors.
Well, and sometimes
the contributors. Some contributors and hosts. I was just.
Can you imagine the work environment though for somebody who didn't toe that line?
And you think? And you think
Ed Martin didn't last very long?
You think that Fox does that to their Democrats? I don't think so.
No.
I think they have a very comfortable. Yeah. And I did this.
I mean, I know some of them.
I did this a few seconds ago, off the top of my head. Yeah. Mm. I wrote down Donna Brazile, obviously, Juan Williams.
Jessica Tarlow,
Marie Harf, Geraldo, Jamu Green, Shepard Smith. These are all Democrats.
There's a black guy, Fowler, they just hired.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people. Juan Williams is a co-host of their most popular, of their most highest. I think The Five is the most highest rated show on Fox News.
And these aren't people Democrats are going to say, oh, those guys are sellouts. That's why I'm on Fox.
Shepard Smith has his own show. Mm.
And
Jessica Tarlow
and
is Geraldo, everywhere.
Geraldo, I would say, he's one of the people I would say is a true moderate. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who say moderate, but they're
Geraldo
really leftists
Democrat,
who pretend
though.
They're moderate.
Doesn't Geraldo claim to be a Democrat?
No, he
supports a lot of what Trump's doing. He doesn't like Trump.
Well, I know he's because he's friends. He does like him because they're friends.
Well,
but he doesn't like some of the stuff he's doing.
But
he supports some of them too, and that's he just
Marie Harf.
Yeah,
she's everywhere.
Yeah,
she's as liberal as they get. You don't find that on the other stations.
She's from St. Louis.
So I don't know, really. I didn't know.
Marie Harf.
Yeah. But I don't understand. I don't understand why people want to listen and watch echo chambers where they're just hearing their thoughts expressed 24/7. I don't mind hearing Don Brazile or Keith Antone.
Yeah. They may make me mad, but I need to know what they're saying and I need to know what they're
But I don't need echo chamber. Well, I don't understand how that angers people. You know, Mark was saying that this week on his show, where sometimes when he has Keith Antone on, people are like, I turn the radio. I just can't listen to him.
All right. Unfortunately, we are out of time this hour. But Virginia Cruda, if people want to follow more of what you do, read your articles on the Daily Caller, all that good stuff, how can they keep up with you?
TheDailyCaller.com. They can reach me at VA Cruda on Twitter, and I often tweet my articles there. Also, at Daily Caller is a good one to follow on Twitter as well.
And you're very often on this show.
Yes.
We appreciate it. And we'll have you back again very, very soon. Make sure you follow Virginia on social media and you read her articles on The Daily Caller. They are fantastic. Mm-hmm. I read them every week and I use the information on the air all the time.
Show prep.
I'm stealing.
Show prep.
Just letting you know. That's exactly right. All right. We need to take a break, but we have a full second hour coming your way. We are going to talk to the Missouri Speaker of the House, Elijah Haar, in the first segment of the next hour. That is next. Don't go anywhere so we can report on FM News Talk 97.1.